In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. "They have no wine," his mother told him. And what was Jesus supposed to do about it? No one wants to run out of wine, ever. And especially not at a wedding reception. This is a real emergency. Something has to be done. I'm with Mary. Even if it takes a divine miracle, get that wine flowing again. But Jesus speaks of his hour, and John speaks of signs. So there's much more going down in Cana than Jesus playing divine bartender. And there's much more to this miracle than Jesus making over 600 bottles worth of wine. This nameless bride and nameless groom, they have no wine. Their cups have run empty. Faster than they expected, their fairy tale wedding has met with cold, hard reality. Their perfect marriage isn't turning out to be so perfect. The wine has run dry, and it's just a matter of time until everyone else knows about it. What can they do, this husband and wife? They have no wine. They do have water. You can always make do with water. But as you well know, once you've had a glass of wine or two, water is kind of a buzzkill. And that's just the problem. It's not that this couple had no wine to begin with. It's that the wine they had has run out. What will happen if Jesus is not asked to help them? Well, nothing really. The couple will pretend that it's okay that the wine's gone. They'll put on their fake smiles, and their joyous wedding day will simply dissolve as the guests leave early. They'll just be one more bride and groom, getting through a wedding, getting through a marriage, getting through a life that has no wine. That's what will happen if Jesus is not asked to help. And that, dear friends, is why there often is very little difference between a wedding and a funeral. If Jesus is not asked to help, the joy of the wedding day will quickly die. So will the marriage. So will the husband and wife. There's a great difference between a man and a woman who simply go through the motions, and a man and a woman who are truly alive. There's a great difference between a marriage that is kept alive for 50 years on life support and a marriage that has been kept alive for 50 years by Christ. Yes, you can always survive off water, but wouldn't you rather have wine? What does a marriage look like if it is a marriage that is helped by Christ? It's a marriage without any problems. A husband. God, you're listening. Let me continue. It's a husband without any sins. A wife without any faults. And 2.5 perfect children. Well, that's a load of fairy tale. And it's nothing more. Unless, of course, you know the ways of Satan. Then you'd say it's no fairy tale at all. In fact, it's a lie. a lie by which Satan enslaves you in your own expectations, so that your husband will never be as sinless as he should be, or your wife always has one too many faults, or your children just don't seem to measure up ever. Then Satan doesn't need to spend another second with your family, because you'll all be Satan to one another. Of course, if you want Satan to come back into your home, you know what to do. Those of you who have tried, start up family devotions. And you'll see all the powers of hell come to your dining room table. Otherwise, Satan and all his fallen host hang out in your car, so that on the way to church, on the way back, they can undo the seeds that were sown. That's family life. Satan uses the law to paint his picture of the ideal Christian marriage. Sinless husband, faultless wife, perfect children. But God paints a very different picture. Marriage under the cross. Family life under the cross. As Christ laid down his life for the church, so the husband is called to a lifelong crucifixion for the sake of his bride. As the church submits to Christ, even to the point of martyrdom for him, so the wife is called to submit and suffer for the sake of her husband. By God's paintbrush, each Christian marriage is an icon, a unique icon of the agony and sacrifice, the blood and the love of the cross. That's God's picture of marriage. For he whose flesh was nailed to the cursed tree has made himself one flesh with you. Flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, that's your Savior Jesus. So that his cross becomes one with your life. His cross becomes one with your marriage. That he might turn your curse into blessing, your agony into rejoicing, your crucifixion into resurrection, or to say it another way, your water into wine. When Jesus attended that wedding at Cana, someone blew it. Someone screwed up. Someone was to blame. But if they had not run out of wine, Jesus would not have worked his miracle. You see, Jesus doesn't go around healing healthy people or looking at a glass of wine and turning it into wine. He looks for the marriage as ugly as his cross, the sinner as torn apart as his own flesh was that Friday, so that he might cleanse both marriage and sinner in his atoning blood. He doesn't heal the healthy, he heals the sick. He doesn't turn wine into wine, but water into wine. And he doesn't make righteous people righteous, but sinners he makes righteous, declaring you righteous by his own holy blood. This is what it means for Jesus' hour to come. And this is what it means for the signs to be fulfilled. He turns the evil of the cross into our greatest good. Do you believe that Jesus can turn water into wine? Do you believe that he can turn your sorrow into joy? Do you believe that he can turn the very weakness into the very strength? Do you believe that he can turn the sins that separate a family into the divine forgiveness that binds that family back together again, tighter than it ever had been before? There is a God who turns water into wine. And since you believe that he can turn water into wine, then believe him also when he turns wine into his blood. When he says, "This wine is my blood," when he puts his cup to your lips this very day, and says to you and to you specifically, for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. All of them, not just some of them, all of them forgiven. You, sinless husband. You, faultless wife. You, perfect child. Because here at his table, you are cleansed by nothing less than God's own holy blood. There is a God who turns water into wine at one wedding and wine into blood at his own wedding. This is the marriage feast of the Lamb. And in this marriage with him, you and your marriage have life, new life, for the life is in his blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.